Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Wellness Ultimatum Radio Show. I'm your host, Omar Cumberbatch. Today, we welcome Stacey Chalemi to the show. Stacey is a health expert and the author of The Complete Guide to Natural Healing, a natural approach to healing the body and maintaining optimal health using herbal supplements, vitamins, minerals, fruits, vegetables, and alternative medicine. She teaches individuals how to prevent, heal, and maintain optimum health using alternative medicines, herbals, vitamins, and food. So today she's going to share her story of her life dedication to the field of health, alternative medicine, and herbal medicine. Stacey, thank you. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. I know you had a hectic week, and I didn't get to really speak to you on before the show. So first off, I want to thank you for being on the show, and please tell the audience a little bit about yourself, including this hectic week, because I'm very proud to be the icing on your cake of your week, and the audience will get it after you tell the story.
Well, I'm an advocate for healing the body naturally and maintaining optimal health using different herbal supplements, fruits, vegetables, and alternative medicine. It's a way of life that really does away with the unnecessary medications and over-the-counter drugs that pose a threat on our health and in the long run can hurt us more than help us. I got into it many years ago. I had developed epilepsy at the age of 5. I had struggled with this illness all my life, almost. Many years ago, I began working for an herbalist, and I became very interested in herbals. I began detoxifying my body, changing my lifestyle, eating differently, sleeping differently. I incorporated meditation and yoga into my life. I began cleansing my body, and I began doing a whole bunch of things that I didn't really do before. And I went from having 9 seizures a month down to 6 seizures a month, down to 5, 3, 1, then to none. I've been seizure-free now for over 15 years. I've been living a really good life, and using herbals and changing your lifestyle can actually help any condition, and it can improve your life. And even if you don't have a condition, it could actually, make you feel more energetic and less fatigue, and you could really change your life dramatically by just changing some of the things in your daily lifestyle.
Okay, no, yeah, this is definitely a topic that I'm really interested in. And what exactly are herbals? How did you really get into the whole concept of supplementing with this? Because we don't live in a society that's necessarily accepting of this. Even in our doctors, they don't really look at it in the same way that a lot of ancient cultures used to. And I think that's definitely a problem. How did you get into that?
Well, like I said, I did a lot of research on it. A lot of people, may dismiss herbal remedies as something that's more like quackery or the use of botanicals. Our herbals and supplements, goes all the way back into like 3000 BC. We've been using it, for centuries. And a lot of the pharmaceutical companies, they use different supplements in their medications to treat a variety of ailments. More than a quarter of all our drugs used today contain active ingredients derived from the same ancient plants, that have been here and been used for centuries. And it's estimated about nearly 80% of the world's population uses herbs for some aspect of primary health care in the United States. And more than 1,500 botanicals are sold as dietary supplements. Some of our top-selling herbs, including garlic and ginseng and ginkgo and aloe, are being used every single day by millions of people in America and all over the world.
Thank you for that. Was there a turning point in particular when you knew that this stuff actually worked?
Well, when I started using it for myself, when I started cleansing my body and detoxifying my body, I saw a huge change in the way I personally felt. I felt an increase of energy. I felt you know, I started seeing that my epilepsy disorder was starting to improve. I still take medication, but, you know, when I was using just the medications, I wasn't 100% controlled. When I started incorporating the way different herbs and detoxifying my body and eating certain foods and staying away from certain foods, you know, I noticed a huge change when I incorporated meditation into my life. You know, it really brought peace into my life and calmness, and I was more focused. And, you know, stress, 90% of our illnesses are stress-related. And, you know, people don't realize how much stress can cause different illnesses, you know. You know, I saw that when I was taking, cleansing my body and taking all the impurities out of my body, and I was using all these different herbs to help, you know, myself, and when I was eating the right foods and getting enough of sleep, I saw a whole change in my whole body. I felt more energized. I was able to focus better. I was able to do a lot more. You know, I felt younger in aspect. I felt my body actually, you know, I was operating the way I did years ago. You know, as time goes on, you know, we don't, most of us don't realize it, but we don't produce as much, you know, as we did when we were younger, and you know, we don't function, you know, that is as well as we did when we were in our 20s, and, you know, in our early 30s. We see a difference as we get older, and a lot, you know, a lot has to play with we're deficient in a lot of vitamins, a lot of nutrients, and you know, these are things that we need to keep on top of, you know, because as you get older, you know, you need to really, you know, focus on your health more and more, because it does play a huge impact. You know, you want to enjoy life to the optimum. You want to enjoy as much as you can, and you know, and the way to do that is to keep yourself in tip-top shape.
Correct, correct. Now, you do mention cleanses a couple times already. Like, did you do any specific types of cleanses, or this was just something that you eliminated certain things out of your diet, or like, what exactly did you do to cleanse?
What I did is I started increasing my fiber in my diet. You know, we're supposed to actually get 40 grams of fiber, you know, daily in our diet, and no one really gets that much, you know, unless you really focus on it. Most people don't. So I started taking fiber capsules. I started taking milk thistle because it cleanses and helps the digestive system and the liver. I started to do colon cleanses and body cleanses to flush out the toxins. I increased my water intake. I started exercising more. All these things release toxins from our body. And, mm-hmm. you know, drinking a lot of water is really good for you. And even, you know, changing your diet, staying, you know, changing your sodium content, decreasing the amount of sodium in your body, trying to stay away from those processed foods, trying to eat more healthy, you know, maybe getting, you know, trying to get 2 servings of fruits, 3 servings of vegetables, you know, trying to eat more foods with fiber, you know, and, you know, just, you know, getting enough of sleep. These are all things that kind of help in the detoxification process.
Now, did you go through like a sugar detox? And if not, what's your position on sugar in general?
Well, sugar is like one of the worst things for you. You know, it's not good for anybody. You know, when we have too much sugar in our body too, it stores as that fat. You know, it causes a lot of illnesses. You know, diabetes is one of the biggest things, you know, that our nation, you know, suffers from. You know, we have a lot of people that suffer from diabetes, and you know, we really, really, you know. I didn't do a sugar cleanse, but what I did was that, you know, I try to stay away from foods with a lot of sugar, you know, even orange juice. People drink orange juice in the morning. They don't realize how much sugar is in a glass of orange juice. You know, if you ever, you know, have time, look at the back of the ingredients and look how much sugar is in, a glass of orange juice, and you'll be shocked. You know, they say if you're trying mm-hmm. to lose weight, stay away from the orange juice because that has, you know, a lot of sugar. And if you really love your orange juice, you know, maybe get like Top 50, the ones that have like less sugar in them. But, you know, you really should, you know, people need to start really looking at the ingredients of the foods they buy when they're in the grocery store, because sometimes we don't realize how many bad things are in the foods that we buy that we think are good.
No, very true. You're absolutely right on point. You got to read the labels. Now, did you have your own struggles with sugar? Was that something that you we're naturally not necessarily a sugar fan, and, you know, eliminating it out of your life or reducing it, was it easy? Was it difficult?
I'll be honest. I did like sugar, and when I was younger, I used to love everything. I was like, I had a sugary tongue. I loved my sweets, and I enjoyed eating, you know, sugary stuff. I had to train myself. I had to really, you know, you have to really say at one point, if you want to feel better and you don't want to feel the way you do, or you don't want to look the way you do, you have to really start making lifestyle changes. You know, so mm-hmm. you have to really, it's a commitment, you know, feeling better, living a healthy lifestyle is a daily commitment. It's not something that you just do once in a while. And for me, you know, I had to train myself. I had to teach myself not to, you know, go and grab those sugary things and to compensate. You know, if I was in the mood for something, you know, sweet, maybe do like applesauce with a little cinnamon on top instead of, you know, trying to grab, you know, some ice cream or some kind of, candy bar or a piece of chocolate or something.
Yeah, no, I know it's very difficult. Most people I know who are trying to, you know, especially lose weight, that, you know, sugar is always the thing that they have the most difficult thing with eliminating. And I guess that's a kind of a segue. Like, did you get into this at all? You know, obviously, you know, you have certain things that you get stumble upon this. But was weight loss or anything a consideration? Like, was that something that you were interested in doing? And was there anything that supplement-wise or herbal remedies that helped assist in weight loss?
With weight loss, I always struggled with weight loss. I went up and down, up and down, up and down. And I found by cutting down the portions, you know, sometimes, you know, if you ever go out of the country, you'll notice that when you go to, especially like Western Europe, portions are very small. You come to America, you know, you sit down in a restaurant, we have these humongous portions of food, and we're used to eating large quantities of foods. Well, the one thing, mm-hmm. you know, is portion size. That's, you know, that helped me. When I started, you know, decreasing the portions, when I started, watching the foods that I ate, also that, you know, iodine, you know, some people don't realize, they hear the word iodine, they think it's bad for you, but actually taking, you know, a little iodine, you know, maybe 2-3 drops of iodine each day actually boosts the metabolism in your body. You know, you get it even in a multivitamin, you know, but if you want to take a little extra, you could take a little extra, and that actually boosts your metabolism, you know, because as we get older, like, you know, our metabolism slows down, and, you know, people that have a sluggish thyroid, you know, it's very hard for them to lose weight, and, you know, they don't burn the fat, you know, their metabolism is slow.
All right. Are there any others? No, definitely. Are there any other supplements that you recommend for weight loss at all?
You know, I've tried, people have suggested things to me, and I've tried things, and, you know, I think what's really good is I personally, for myself, I like doing the milk thistle. I take milk thistle. I use fiber. I do colon cleanses, and I do body cleanses, you know, and you can buy those. You know, you have to just make sure you check the ingredients in the bottles, make sure they're not filled with fillers, you know, make sure it's a good brand. You know, there's a company on the website called consumerlab.com. They are dedicated to listing all the good vitamin companies and supplement companies. They tell you what's good, what's bad. They rate a lot of these things. So you could actually go on and find out which ones are good, which ones are bad, you know, if what you're thinking of buying is actually a good product or not.
Oh, that's good to know. That's a great resource. I'm gonna definitely look that up as well. So, what are some of your like go-to herbal remedies for just various things? What is like something that maybe be in your kitchen cabinet that you're like everyone should have?
Well, you know, it's funny because sometimes, you know, people will go out and, you know, there's so many supplements and so many things on the market, and you could end up paying a fortune when, you know, some of your best supplements that are inexpensive are actually in your own kitchen. Like basil, for instance, it can help relieve gas, it soothes upset stomachs. We have canine pepper, which is a red hot powder that's made from a tropical chili peppers. And, you know, it helps relieve pain by blocking the chemicals that send pain messages to the brain. You know, cinnamon, like we had mentioned about cinnamon before, cinnamon bark contains an oily chemical that kills a variety of illnesses causing bacteria, and including E. coli and salmonella. And, you know, research shows that cinnamon is also great for it's able to stop the growth of the Asian flu virus. And many herbalists report that cinnamon bark also helps regulate the menstrual cycle, and it also is helpful during menopause. You know, we have our clove. You know, oil of the clove is about 60-90% in general, and it's very potent. It's very good to help for stop tooth pain, and it's one of the spices in that can help the body use insulin more effectively and lowering blood sugar. There was some studies done that, you know, that it was helpful. And, you know, for people with diabetes that have high sugar, they may want to cook with a clove, you know, and use, you know, use that in their diet. You know, even the Indian culture, they use spices all the time. And they have a very healthy community. And one thing they do is they cook all the time with spices. They put everything in their foods, you know, and, you know, and it's, you know, you could easily, when you're cooking, throw a couple of spices, healthy spices in your food, and, you know, you have some nice taste going on, and it's also, it's healthy for you, too. And, you know, there's many more things, like garlic can help lower cholesterol and blood pressure. You know, that's something that most Americans use. You know, you're making sauce, you know, you have garlic, and you can put garlic on fish, and, you know, there's so many other things that you can use garlic, and it's a great resource. It could help with a lot of different ailments.
Now, as far as the spices go, like, how important is the quality of these spices? Do you have to get an organic spice? Is it just a common one that you get in any supermarket sufficient, or is there the big difference between them?
You know, it's always good when you are buying spices to try to buy organic if you can. You know, the problem with today is we put a lot of different pesticides on our foods and our foods that we grow, and those pesticides we don't know how to break those down when it gets into our body, and what happens is it throws the body chemistry completely off. So when your body chemistry is off and it has these chemicals and it doesn't it register to them, they start storing those chemicals in your body. And then after those chemicals build up over time, you know, this is how people come up with illnesses, and, you know, you see cancer is on a rise. You know, you ask yourself why. Well, look at all these things, all these pesticides, all these chemicals that, you know, that are on our foods, and, you know, it's playing a toll. So if you can buy organic, I would suggest it. But you don't have to buy organic for everything. Certain things you should, but not everything.
Okay, yeah, that's good to know. I thought I saw something in the news saying that McCormick, which was pretty much in every supermarket or, you know, that I've ever gone to.
Yeah, you see them all over the place.
Yeah, I think that they're making a move to actually going, you know, organic completely in their line. So that's why I asked. I was wondering if you might have heard about that, and if they do so, is it going to be a better selection as far as spices go? So I was definitely curious about that. You know, one of the things that I wanted to get into too, like you did mention garlic for sure. How's, like, I heard ginger is very good too. Is that correct?
Yeah, ginger is great. Ginger helps people with queasiness, motion sickness. You know, researchers have demonstrated that ginger can help with different types of seasickness, and, you know, it's very good for your digestive system too. You know, and it helps relieve vomiting, everything around, like, the digestive area. If you're not feeling right, if you feel off, it eases pain from gas. You know, if you're experiencing diarrhea, anything that has to do with the digestive, any problems or issues with digestive conditions, you know, ginger is a great resource. And that's another thing that, you know, you could take it in a capsule, but you could actually, you know, you can buy it, you know, fresh, and you can put it, you know, in your foods or even on a little dessert. You could put a little ginger on top, and, you know, and it's great for those things.
Okay, that's good to know. I heard a lot of good things about it. Now, what would you suggest, like, say, for people who might have, like, anxiety or suffering from depression? Like, do you have any advice for people suffering from these ailments? And is there something that you can recommend as far as supplementation or herbal remedies for that?
You know, today we have such a go-go society. You know, people are always on the go. People always feel more pressure to accomplish more things, like there's never enough hours in the day. You know, the first thing I would suggest, you know, if you can incorporate meditation or yoga into your daily life, you know, a lot of people like to do it in the morning. It's a great way to start the day. It actually, you know, people don't realize how effective it can be in calming the mind, body, and soul. You can really, you know, see an improvement in your anxiety, and, you know, but just by, you know, doing yoga or meditating in the morning, you don't have to do it for a very long time. But if you could take, you know, 20 to 30 minutes in the morning and just focus on meditation, maybe do some poses, you know, in yoga, you know, and stretch your body, you'll notice a difference in your level of anxiety. You'll see it decrease. You'll see, you know, a feel of calmness, because a lot has to do with breathing. Meditation and yoga is based on breathing, and breathing in through the nose and out through the nose in a very slow way, putting maybe one hand on your stomach, one hand on your upper chest, and just breathe slowly in and out, not through the mouth, but in through the nose, out through the nose. And you'll start to see your level of anxiety decrease. It's all about taking, you know, when you breathe through the nose and you breathe out the nose, you're purifying your body. You're breathing in clean air, and you're detoxifying your inner body, and you're also bringing calmness, you know, into your body. And that's one way of helping your anxiety. Valerian root has been used for centuries. It's a mild sedative. It is very good for to get a good night's sleep, to relax, you know. That's something you might want to take at nighttime. And it's it has helped a lot of people that suffer from insomnia. They have lemon balm, which is really good. A lot of people like the essence oil. You know, come in a spray bottle. You can spray it in the room or spray it on your wrists or on your skin a little bit. And it's very good. They use it it brings calmness, and it reduces, you know, your level of stress. It also helps with mood and mental calmness. You start to, you know, it helps. A lot of people have said that they've seen a huge positive effect when they've used it. They've seen more calmness. They felt more relaxed after breathing in the smell of lemon balm. You could also buy it in capsules, you know, and take it like that also. But the smell of lemon balm is very relaxing. I have actually one in my house, and I like using the spray. I even put a little bit on my pillow and before I go to bed, and it's nice and very relaxing. And
so you're
passion. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you could jump. I was going to say, so you're a fan of, like, essential oils as well?
Oh, yeah. Essential oils are very effective. You know, many people use essential oils. You know, not only do they have great smell to it, but, you know, they have all different purposes, and, you know, they're very good for, you know, bringing calmness and relaxation and anxiety. Lavender, for instance, is a great essence oil if you suffer from anxiety or if you're nervous. You know, it's very relaxing also. If you're looking to get a good night's sleep, if you use lavender, or even if you take, you know, Epsom salt bath with lavender essence, you'll see when you come out of that bath, you'll see yourself extremely relaxed.
Mm. That's a good one, yeah. So Epsom salt is something else that we can incorporate into this as well?
Oh, most definitely. It's very good for your body.
Very good, very good. Now, you know, one of the question that I always had is, like, why is it important to realize that although some of the thing may be natural, like the stuff that you're describing, it isn't necessarily always safe. Is that correct?
Well, you have to really know what you're purchasing. You know, don't always assume because someone says it's natural or someone, you know, you have to look at the ingredients. Like a lot of times, you know, do you ever see those things you can plug in the wall and you can they squirts out the smell to make the room smell pretty?
Oh yeah,
absolutely. You know what I'm talking about? It has, you know, you can buy them in any store, and you stick it in the wall, or you know, and it has those sprays, and it you know, comes out. It makes the room smell pretty, or even the stuff you can put on your carpet to make the room smell nice. Those things have those lavender smells. They have all those type of nice essence smells, but they're actually very bad for the body. You know, if you look at the ingredients in the back, they might have some lavender smell to it, but they have a lot of toxins in it too. And, you know, so you really have to know what you're buying and you know, if it's actually good for you and if it's actually natural. Going with a company, you know, that you've heard of that actually has a good reputation. It's always good sticking with their products. If you've used certain products in the past, you know that they're good, you know, I would suggest maybe using that company. And like I said earlier, check that website, consumerlab.com, and see, you know, what they say about those companies too.
And now, do some of these things actually have bad interactions with maybe medications? And you should check with your doctor to see if, you know, say, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there. Say lavender maybe have an effect on something else that you might be using?
Well, there's definitely certain, when you take a supplement, a lot of, you know, supplements are just as strong as medications. I haven't really heard of any interactions myself personally with lavender, but you know they are different medications that you have to be very careful, and you should ask your doctor, because herbs aren't regulated by the FDA for safety, you know, and there's certain and they could be just as strong as prescription drugs. Like red yeast rice is used to lower cholesterol. You know, that's before they went on the market, they used to use that as a prescription. You know, they sold red yeast rice, and you needed a prescription to buy it. Now you could buy it over the counter. So, you know, you could take that, and let's say you're taking a medicine for, you know, another condition, that could interact depending on the medication you're taking, or the, you know, you may be battling several illnesses and taking several medications. You know, you want to be, you know, very careful. Like St. John Wort interacts with a lot of antidepressant medications or seizure medications. You could actually people with epilepsy can actually have a seizure using St. John Wort. So you have to really, you know, I say if you have conditions, I would, you know, ask your doctor, is it okay if I take this? Because you never know. It could interact and it could cause a problem. Your doctor will know if it interacts with your medication. And for people with high blood pressure, diabetes, depression, blood thinners, you always have to be careful because, you know, they do have a lot of supplements on the market that can interact with those conditions. So always check with your doctor.
That makes a lot of sense. Thanks for clarifying that. I definitely wanted to jump into the topic of medical marijuana. What do you think can be some of the benefits of actually using medical marijuana? What are the things that you might think that there's a drawback to it, and should this be something that people really start looking into as helping our overall health?
Well, there are many cases throughout the medical field where marijuana has proven to be a helpful addition to the healthcare community. People that have used medical marijuana have found that it has helped with epilepsy, cancer, and different chronic pain illnesses. The THC has helped with different illnesses and diseases like cancer. It's been used to help people. You know, many people, you know, think that it has a lot of potential to help many different conditions. There's a list of over 100 conditions that it could possibly be helpful for. And right now, you know, you have a lot of medical universities like NYU doing a lot of studies on it because they feel it could be very beneficial. You know, this is something, you know, that I feel too could be very helpful. I've seen, you know, I've heard of many cases where kids were having constant seizures and, you know, they couldn't get controlled on the medication, and they started them with medical marijuana, and, you know, a lot of children were helped. Either their seizures were significantly decreased, or they stopped with the usage of medical marijuana. So there is definite potential with the usage of medical marijuana. You know, we need to do more research on it, but, you know, it's definitely something that could be very beneficial for a lot of people.
And I think, you know, you hear a lot of positive stories about it, and I just hope that the medical community opens up to it. I mean, you know, we need as much help fighting all of the diseases that are in our society and, what you know, to try to get this on board and get past, like, whatever political agendas that they have. It'd be really, really good for that to actually come out and help us. But, you know, thank you for that. Do you find that a lot of people ask you about medical marijuana in your practice?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people mention about medical marijuana. You know, a lot of people don't have a lot of knowledge in the area. So when you don't have knowledge in the area, you fear it. You know, a lot of people, when they think of medical marijuana, they think back to the 60s and the 70s, and they think that, you know, the world is going to get chaotic if we, you know, legalize marijuana. But, you know, alcohol is actually worse than marijuana. You can't overdose on marijuana, but you could overdose and you can die from toxification of the liver. You can have worse effects on alcohol than you can on marijuana. And also think about smoking. Smoking is the worst for you. Smoking is worse than marijuana and alcohol, but they still sell the product and they still legalize it. But yet it's so cancerous. And, you know, once you have a pink liver, you have a pink lung, the first time you smoke a cigarette, it turns brown. So, you know, things like that, they're let in society, you know, they're legalizing. But things like you know, there's a lot of, strings attached where people have to really open up and realize, you know, if you legalize it, it's not going to, people aren't going to run and abuse it. You know, you will have your few that will abuse it, but it's, you know, there's a lot of positive, you know, things that it could actually do to help a lot of illnesses and conditions. And, you know, it is a lot of politics too going on. You know, pharmaceutical companies will probably lose a lot of money, you know, if they are able to use medical marijuana for a lot of conditions. So, you know, there are a lot of issues, but, you know, this is something that we really, you know, they really need to legalize and have, you know, laws and regulations in every state that are the same. And people have to understand, you know, how beneficial it actually is, that it's not, you know, just, you know, there are a lot of drugs out there that have more side effects and are far worse than medical marijuana.
Totally agree. Now, on your website, you have a section on health and beauty. What tips do you have for that, and anything specific that you think is, like, one of the most, like, interesting topics regarding the, like, skincare, hair care, and stuff of that nature?
You know, with moisturizers, you know, people ask about wrinkles, and, you know, they ask about staying, you know, young looking, and, you know, one of the biggest things is, you know, people don't realize, but a lot of wrinkles come when your skin is not moisturized. When you have dry skin, you tend to wrinkle quicker than you do when you don't have dry skin. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you're vitamin D deficient, you have dry skin. If you ever look on your skin and it looks dry, you're like, oh, I have dry skin. Well, that probably means you don't have enough of vitamin D in you. So, that's a sign that you need, you know, to increase your vitamin D intake. And, you know, if you're not near, you know, if you're not in Florida or where it's sunny all the time, you may want to consider, you know, maybe taking a vitamin D supplement. Also, you know, there's a lot of good moisturizers, like, you know, you have kiwi oil and you have a lot of different aloe oil is a great, you know, great oil for the face and for the body, and, you know, there, and putting a moisturizer on your skin, you know, is really important to keep your skin moisturized. Those are things that you can, you know, probably if you're looking to have that, you know, young skin and try to avoid those, you know, crows around your eyes or, you know, those little wrinkles, you know, that's a great way to start.
Okay. Well, since we're talking, I might as well get my selfish question out the way. What about bags in the eyes?
Oh, yeah. You know, everyone suffers
dark
from
circles.
Bags underneath the eyes and, yeah, the dark circles, you know. And they do have like moisturizers out there for it. I don't know particularly any specific, you know, different oils that are really good, but they do say that aloe vera is very good for underneath the eyes, and it keeps it moisturized. But the main thing about bags underneath the eye, a lot of times it comes from a lack of sleep. You know, a lot of people with stress and a lack of sleep, it causes those dark eyes. And sometimes it's hereditary. Sometimes, you know, some people in their families, they carry that those dark circles underneath their eyes. But the best way that I've seen is try to, you know, try to get a little bit more sleep and, you know, try not to worry so much and, you know, try to be a little laxed if you can. I don't know how easy that is to do, but, you know, that will definitely help it.
I thought you were going to give me the miracle cure, but I understand you're correct. You are absolutely correct. Oh, boy, but you know what I wanted to say, too, and I found this very interesting about you. You're also an author of over 20 books. Most people can't do one. Many of them outside of health and wellness. So why is that, and what is your favorite topic to write about outside of health and wellness?
You know, I wrote books that had impacts on my life, things that I could relate to, things that I've done, things that have helped me, you know, because when, you know, life is very hard and life has many obstacles and we cross many journeys and sometimes, you know, those paths aren't very easy and those journeys seem very long. And, you know, when I have had, you know, had different things in my life, I looked for ways to try to overcome, and you know, I'm a person who does not like to give up, you know, and if I'm having trouble, I will look for that solution. I will try different ways until I figure out a way that's workable. And, you know, my favorite topic was, you know, positive thinking. We live in a society where a lot of people are very negative because, you know, life is not easy. We all come across many things in life, and it could have a huge traumatic impact in our lives. You know, one event in our lives can throw us off completely, you know, and a lot of people look at life negatively. A lot of people, you know, it's very hard to cope with things, to cope with illness, to cope with, you know, anything, you know, that's traumatic and difficult. And, you know, those things can make us very negative and can make life, you know, not so good. And, you know, why live life? You have one life to live. Why, you know, why live it in a negative way? And my favorite thing was to do a book on the power of positive thinking. It was The Secret to Happiness and Success, to master the power of positive thinking. And, you know, I go over different techniques and different tools on how you can change your negative way of thinking, turn it into a positive way. And, you know, by being positive and trying to take the best out of every situation, you know, you could actually turn your life around. Because when you get into those high lows and you're in that low, you can, you know, you can pull yourself out of it, you know, and you can just keep moving forward, you know, instead of falling in a hole and just staying there, you know, and every day is a dark and dreary day. You know, why live in a dark and dreary world when you can see the bright sun when it's just, you know, outside your door? And, you know, you just have to, you know, there are ways that you can train yourself to take the best out of every situation. And that's what I talk about in that book. And that was probably, you know, one of my favorite books to write because, you know, it's something that helped me tremendously and it's something I know that everyone struggles with at some point in their life.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my favorite topic. I've seen even the show evolve into more of a mindset kind of show. One of the things that I would like to ask you about that too is, like, are there any tips to help people kind of dig their way out of these, you know, doldrums at times? And what was something that's practical that maybe they can get out of something you've written about the concept of positive thinking?
Well, it was one thing with positive thinking. I always, what my thing was is that I always say everything happens for a reason. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. when things are occurring, sometimes we may not understand why things are happening to us, you know, but we need to realize, you know, and think to ourselves, everything is meant to be. You have to, you know, something happens, we may not understand the reasoning for it, but, you know, in the long run, we'll figure it out, you know, and somehow we have to take the good out of everything, you know. Like for me, when I had epilepsy, you know, for many years, I was very much in denial. I didn't know how to deal with it. I was very angry, you know, and, you know, I realized by having epilepsy, I learned that, you know, I learned to be more compassionate about my own illness and about other people's illnesses and disabilities. And, you know, if I didn't struggle with my own condition, I don't know if I would be that kind, compassionate person that I am to the degree I'm at. You know, I realized by, you know, what I went through in life, it makes me, when I talk to others, you know, feel that compassion, understand what people are going through, and I can relate to them. And, you know, and, you know, that's, you know, to me, that was how I looked at my epilepsy. And then what I did was, is I took everything, you know, I took what I learned, you know, by living with my illness, and I help others. And to me, that's an accomplishment. You know, you have to, sometimes we have to use our experiences as a learning experience and then see how we can benefit from them. And then, you know, some ways or two is to make long-term and short-term goals, you know, to, you know, when you're getting yourself out of a rut or you're trying to get to the next level in life, you know, make short-term and long-term goals. We can't, everything doesn't happen overnight. So we need to, like, you know, set goals for ourselves. You know, maybe what do I want to get, you know, accomplished this week? You know, what would I like to get accomplished next week? What would I like to see myself at in 3 months? And, you know, you take things day by day and helping people, helping others, doing good things for others. I think that's one of the biggest achievements, you know. And, you know, sometimes we live in a me society. Everyone, you know, wants to help themselves, but, you know, you could get a lot out of life, and it really feels good to be able to reach out and help another person. And I think people should try to do that more often.
Very well said, very well said. And listen, I think you're an amazing guest. I love what you're doing. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to, again, I think we kind of skipped over. You got to tell us about your week, because I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And number two, just, you know, tell the audience how to get in touch with you, especially how to get this book, which will really, really clarify a lot of the questions people have about supplementation, vitamins, fruits, vegetables, everything. So if you could do those two things, that would be very, very good.
Sure. Well, this week, Dr. Oz had invited me on his show on Monday, and then they invited me on his show on Tuesday. We did a segment on sleep, and then we did a segment on nutrition and protein, and it was a really great experience. For the sleep segment, I met some really cool people, and Ariana Huffington was there, and she was a great person, and she is the editor-in-chief of the Huffington Post, and we got to talk in, and she was just a super nice person, and she, after talking, I was telling her about my articles and my books and stuff, and I guess she had went on my website, and she went on and looked at all my stuff. She actually emailed me personally, and I got an email from her the next day, and she asked me to join her blog and her blog for her the Huffington Post, and she asked me to write for her and do some stuff for her and do a book review for her, and I was really excited about that. And and then I had a great time with Dr. Oz. He's a super guy, and he's done a lot of good for people, and he's the friendliest individual. He's just a really nice guy, and I had a lot of fun taping the segments, and it was a really fun experience. And then for my website, I have a website. We have over 3,000 articles on our website. We cover all different conditions, and we talk about different natural ways to cure common conditions. And I also have my books on there, too. I have my complete herbal guide and natural remedies for common conditions on there, and they're also available on Amazon. My website is www.thecompleteherbalguide.com, and it goes over everything. If you want to learn about herbal supplements, how to eat right, exercise, it covers it. And we have a lot of things about product reviews and book reviews, and there's a lot of interesting stuff on the website. So, come check us out. And if you have questions, you know, we always answer everybody's questions. So feel free to shoot us an email, and we'll be happy to answer anything.
How long has that website been up and rolling?
We've been up for about 3 years now, close to about 2.5 going on 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very, very, very good. Like, it touches so many different topics. So I definitely urge the audience to definitely take a look at it because it's very comprehensive. There's tons of information. Like you said, over 3,000 articles. It was a really, really great, well-written, very impressive.
Thank you. We also have doctors and experts that come on, too. And they, you know, if you have questions, you know, they will answer anybody's questions, too.
Yeah, no, it's very, very, very nice. But listen, Tate, I want to thank you again for being on the show. It's been a real absolute pleasure. And good luck in everything. And when is this Dr. Oz thing airing so we can take a look at it?
From what they told me, I think in the next week or two they're going to be airing it. And if you go on their website, they should list their shows. They have, I think, one on sleep deprivation and then one on nutrition and health. So it should be airing in a week or two.
Sounds great. Stacey, again, thank you for being on the show. You have a great night.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Stacey Chalemi. Yeah, you know what? She had a great week. It was Arianna Huffington and then Dr. Oz. Then she came on our show. So we're very excited to be in that company. She has a great website, like I was mentioning. Tons of resources all about natural remedies. Please check it out. You won't be disappointed. This is Omar Carverbesh from the Wellness Ultimatum Radio Show. Thank you for listening, and have a great night.